As the great Bono would say on Sunday Bloody Sunday, it's been a lot of talk. We've heard some things, we've read some things, we know some things. I'd love to know on July 1 if we're going to hear about an 8-year extension for Rasmus Dahlin. I believe we are both under the impression that he is 100% without certainty looking for term of 8 years and that magical number eight figures, which would put him at 10 plus million.
It's an interest. Listen, I mean, we've been talking about Rasmus Dahlin and how far he's come in his short time in the NHL. He's still he just turned 23 years old. He's just a kid. He's got a long, long, long way to go. We talked about term. We talked about the number. You know, we're sitting here hoping that he's going to sign for 995, which I think is completely a little bit unrealistic. You're hoping that deep down inside that Kevin Adams can pull out, you know, something, a bag of tricks here, but there's so many defensemen. Seth Jones signed for 9.5 a couple years ago. You have Zach Werenski signed for 9.65 a couple years ago. You have
McAvoy.
McAvoy, who
9.5.
9.5. You have Darnell Nurse, I think, is a 9.25. You have a Hamilton, Doug Hamilton, that's a 9.5. The point is this. Rasmus Dahlin, the other one is Adam Fox, who signed for $9.5 million, and he won a Norris Trophy. That being said, that was signed
Cale Makar's up at nine,
a
but
little while ago.
I think you won a Calder Trophy.
That's right. So it is not surprising to me with Gary Bettman coming out talking about how the cap in the next 4 years, 3, 4 years, is going to go up quite a bit. When you're talking about percentage and stuff, you know, it just makes sense. It makes sense that, you know, Rasmus Dahlin is going to be an eight-figure guy. I would have loved for him to sign for 9.5, but that's maybe a little bit wishful thinking.
Well, I mean,
But
I would love for him to sign for 9.9. I would love to see it under 10. I don't think that's going to be
yeah.
realistic.
Well, the negotiations, I can tell you this, the deal is not done. As much as, you know, we've read some things, the term of the contract, the length of the contract, I think is bang on. The number could be,
It's
it's going to be over 10
it's
million.
going to be over 10 million.
Yes. And right now they're probably ironing out a few things. A lot of it maybe could be signing bonus stuff, you know, all those little things that go into a contract that make it what it is. And
So let me ask you this, okay? Let 10.5 for Rasmus Dahlin, 8 years. Tell me your thoughts right now. Initial reaction.
if it's $10.5 million, I think I would be a little bit upset. Not even upset. Does he deserve $10.5 million?
He didn't deserve six when he got six.
That is true.
And I'm under the impression his agents really pressed hard for that.
Yeah, I mean, you basically when he went and came out of his entry level deal, his first 3 years, and when he went to sign his next contract, I mean, I'm going to tell you, we all remember his third year in the league. It was disastrous. I mean, he played for a large part of that year where I'm not even kidding you, he shouldn't even be playing in the minors. That's how bad he was playing. Now, was that coaching? Was that coaching philosophy? Was that how bad the team was? Was that, you know, Rasmus Dahlin was just not in a good place mentally? But I'm going to tell you this, Don Granato took this team over. And there was a significant change in Rasmus Dahlin. Emotionally, mentally, physically, in the way that he played the game, he was allowed out of his cage. Okay. And he flourished in a big way and ended that season, the last 25 games of that season. He played very well, just like Casey Mittelstadt did and Joakim Häyhä played better. There's a lot of guys that were drowning and were
Can I
suffering.
stop you there for a second? I agree with you about Don Granato having a massive impact on him, But I would like to just, and I don't know why it all of a sudden changed, but Darlene got a lot more physical, which, come on, he might not have, I'm not talking fighting, but he was always in the scrums. He was always starting the scrums. He was finishing checks along the boards. Like he was starting to become more of a prick to play against. And we saw him lay the shoulder a few times.
That's
and I think
not
that,
what made him take the next step, as we would call
it. No, but that was a crucial step that I think he had to take personally. Personal growth as a player in the league.
Well, listen, I mean,
because
we can talk.
We all
about
remember
him
the
being
Philadelphia
physical.
Game. We all remember the Philadelphia game a couple of years ago, where we all complained that Darlene got punched in the head and no one did anything.
Yeah, because he's on literally the softest team in the NHL. And you're talking about an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid at the time that was getting punched in the head by a tough customer, you could say it, from Philadelphia, and didn't respond, or should he? Like, Rasmus Dahlin hasn't fought his entire life. Like, what do you mean he's going to come to the NHL at 19 years old and get punched in the head by a 25-year-old that his role is a fourth-line role?
Who was it again?
It was
wasn't Zach Ronaldo, was it?
No, it wasn't. It started with an A, I think, or something like that. But anyway, you know, this that's not on Rasmus Dahlin. That's not on Rasmus Dahlin. We're talking about his physicality. That's a small part of what we're talking about when we're talking about a $10 million hockey player. His game flourished in the sense that when he started to deal with Don Granato, and I don't know what the hell he said, but he said something. He said something to these guys to enlighten them and open them up to get that weight off their shoulder and just play freely. And whatever Don Granato did, he did something great for Darlene. And Darlene's been continuing to improve every single year since then. And now he's in a position where he's, you know, 15 goal scorer, 37 or 73 point guy in 78 games. He was a plus hockey player. He laid one of the biggest body checks for the Sabres the entire year. That one that it was bone crushing, you know, his game at a very young level or a very young age, he's still got abilities to continue to get better. You know, you're starting to hear more about his leadership, okay, and how he deals. Maybe he's a quiet leader. Maybe he leads by example on the ice. We don't know. I don't know the inside of that dressing room. Rasmus Dahlin is a hell of a hockey player. And when you talk about $10 million, you know, it's kind of where he should be, because in the next 8 years, the salary cap's going to go up tremendously.
What if this contract goes to 11?
Yeah. If it's at 11, then I'm definitely going to not be, happy. I'm not going to be happy at all. I'm sorry. It's just like,
so
it's like I was
swallow,
listening to,
you could swallow 10.5 uneasily. Maybe you not.
I think
maybe $10
million is the number for Rasmus Dahlin. And I would really hope that he's at that number. But if he was at 10.5, I'm going to sit there and shrug my shoulders and go, shit, damn it, I wish he was a little bit lower. But at the end of the day, what's 500 grand?
What's another
500 grand? You know, so he's a player that is a staple on your blue line. He's a staple on your blue line. On most teams around the NHL, you look at every single team in the NHL, there's always one guy that is an elite, and I mean elite, player on the team. Colorado's got Cale Makar. You've got Vancouver's got the Hughes. You've got, you know, when you look at the Rangers have, you know, a beautiful player in Adam Fox. Here in Buffalo, because we suck so bad, we've been gifted two guys. As much as you're going to talk about Rasmus Dahlin and what he's done in the 5 years that he's played in the NHL, you cannot forget the other first overall draft pick, who's in his first year shown that he is going to be special. So we got two young men that need contracts. And it's important for the team, this team moving forward, to get these guys under long-term contracts. Well, and one thing that I can say is that both players are very open to the long-term deal thing. It's now for Kevin, his crew to get these deals done. Not that that's going to represent the player well, but also be favorable to the team moving forward for the next number of years.
Can you somehow get them both 8 years for under $19 million?
Yes.
Because that would be 10.5 for Darlene and 8.5 for Power, or 10 for Darlene and 9 for Power, yeah, any which way you want to slice it.
You know, it's easy. It's easy, and it's a lot easier to sit here right now and discuss a Rasmus Dahlin contract. If you were to take away this season that Rasmus Dahlin just played, and we would all be talking about Rasmus Dahlin making $10 million, I think everybody would be puking. Okay. That's it. That's the way it is. Last, you know, in year four of Rasmus Dahlin, he had 13 goals and 53 points. He was minus 22. That's not a $10 million hockey player. That's a really good hockey player, but that's not a $10 million hockey player. Rasmus Dahlin, in his fifth year in the league, at age 22, had a 15 goal, 73 point, plus 12 with 92 penalty minutes. That is a 10 plus million dollar hockey player. So at the end of the day, if he gets 10 or 10 and a half million dollars for 8 years, I don't give a shit, because all I want to do is watch Rasmus Dahlin.
Okay. So then,
the cornerstone of the Buffalo defense for the next 8 years.
Cause I feel like we've talked about this a lot. Then if we're at that point and accepting that for Dahlin, cause about 2 weeks ago, we were saying 9.5, 9.75.
Well, listen, when we're talking 9.5, I'm not even saying it's unrealistic. I'm saying there's players in the league. I can name you five guys right now that signed for $9.5 million, but they signed it a couple years ago. Rasmus Dahlin is now 2 years removed. The league is in a better situation. The salary cap is going to be going up. All these things, it's the evolution of the game. Rasmus Dahlin now, 2 years later, is now going to set another bar. It's not a $9.5 million deal anymore, or $9 to $9.5 million deal. Rasmus Dahlin is going to set a bar near 10, maybe even a little bit higher. But at the end of that, we're still in a very good situation here. But you also have to go, and how, what's harder? To deal with Rasmus Dahlin, who's played 5 years in the league, who is starting to explode in his game? Or is it harder to sign a one-year player at age 20 that had a very, very good rookie season? Is it harder to sign that player? And I think it's harder to sign Owen Power.
So if Owen Power is open to 8 years, what's the max you'll give him? If I were to tell you the Sabres signed him to 8.75, now you have.
I think it's steep. I think that's steep, but I think 8 to 8.5. I hate to say this. This is all about being realistic. Owen Power, as much as we would all like to have him at $7 million, it's not realistic. Because Owen Power in his first year in the league played like he had played 10 years in the league. He had 35 points. He moved the puck exceptionally well. He skates. He's a humongous human being and only played 1 year in the league. He's got a comparable, and that was Chabot from Ottawa. Ottawa turned around and signed this guy to an 8-year deal for $8 million. But that was years ago. That was years ago that Chabot signed that deal. Owen Power is the new Chabot. He is the new generation Chabot. But Chabot wasn't a first overall pick. Chabot's not 6'6", 220 pounds. So if I were to sit here right now and say, you know, he's going to get $8.5 million for 8 years, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Would I want that? No, I wouldn't want that. I'd want him under less. But just like we talked about Rasmus Dahlin at 9.5, that's wishful thinking. Well, I knew Shabbat, we weren't probably going to get him at
9.6% of the salary cap at okay. 8 million. Okay.
Okay.
So what's the cap going up to? 83? 82.5?
Oh, I think it was 80, I think it was at 83.5.
So okay. So
or 82.5.
So if he's
But we're talking it's supposed to jump big time. In the next number of years, in the next 3 years, it's supposed to really jump. Like it's going to jump 10 million. Like you're going to have the salary cap that's going to be 93 million, not 83.
If you can't live with 70 million over 80 million, go fuck yourself.
Well, you know, you can say that. You can say that, Petey. But like, I mean, number one, if it's just let's just say this. Let's say that you were the parents of Owen Power. And the Buffalo Sabres came to them and said, we want to offer your son an 8-year deal for $8 million. That's $64 million.
Well, they wouldn't offer him that. So let's just say they came to an agreement for eight for eight.
Now,
what would I say?
The parents are going to sit there and say, okay, that's going to take my son.
Okay, hold on. What's the 29 years old. First of all, what's the agent saying to the kid? I would want to know what the agent says to the parents and the kid first. Tell me what the agent says. Just tell me.
This is my whole point.
Tell me what the agent
point
says.
Is when the parents
because
are offered this, the parents are going to say, you're going to sign that deal because that's going to take you to 29 years old and you're going to have $64 million in the bank. Okay. To end that. And then you're going to sign another 8-year deal. That's going to be well over $10 million because the cap is going to skyrocket. So he's going to make a lot of money. Or you could sit there and be the Austin Matthews. Where I'm gonna sign shorter term deals to maximize my earning potential, but at the same time, always have the ability to change and not be locked in for a long term process with that team. Like listening to what Austin Matthews is gonna sign for, they're talking about him signing, a 3-year deal. Some of them say 4-year deal. They say he's not going to sign an 8-year deal. He doesn't want to sign an 8-year. He doesn't have to sign an 8-year deal. He's going to maximize his money. He's going to be making $13 million. Is he worth $13 million? He's not worth more than Pastrnak. Why'd he sign for 12? He's not worth more than Nate McKinnon. Why'd he sign for 12.6? Like Austin Matthews basically has the Toronto Maple Leaf by the balls. And what I'm saying is Owen Power has the ability to sign a long-term deal, but he also has the ability to sign a shorter-term deal, just like Rasmus Dahlin did a couple years ago. Rasmus Dahlin was making $6 million, and he didn't deserve it, but he still got it. What's Owen Power going to sign for if he signs a short-term deal?
Seven.
Okay. 3 years at seven, $21 million. So why would he sign for eight is what I'm trying to say.
Well, 3-year deal. Remember the Werenski structured contract where it was like,
yep.
He was like a $6 or $7 million average.
He made $5 million bucks.
Didn't he make like $3 million and then maybe $4 million and then $8 million or something?
Oh, you mean the structure of the deal,
structure
meaning
of it.
Like,
so the last year when he had to be qualified, he was qualified at a massive number.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. So
that's what I was thinking.
Zach Werenski signed for $5 million for 3 years.
Yeah, and what was
okay? Rasmus Dahlin went and signed for $6 million for 3 years.
Was Werenski's contract structure $2 million, $3 million, $10 million?
It was 4-4-7.
Oh, 4-4-7. Okay.
I guess where we're going with this. With Owen Power, is I think he's going to be a lot harder to sign because the earning potential for him is through the roof.
So Dahlin's deal is 5, 5.8, 7.2.
Okay. Yep. 7.2 is the
It doesn't
qualifier.
Even seem like they even projected him to shoot up to be a $9 or $10 million player, because they're like, well, you know, if you're getting like 7.58 on your next deal, you know, this that puts you in a good spot on an 8-year deal. But now he's surpassed that.
Do you think that by the team signing him to a short-term contract and not offering him an 8-year contract, but offering him a 3-year deal, that it kind of not irritated Rasmus Dahlin, but sparked him to become the player he is today? Or would he have been a complacent player playing on an 8-year deal?
I mean, I would hate to pin that on a guy's character.
Well, it's not really character. It's not really character, but let me tell you something. When you go and sign, let's just say hypothetically that he would sign for an 8-year deal for $8 million. I'm not saying your give a shit meter drops or goes low, but you know, when you're in the final year of your deal, you know that a lot of these hockey players always seem to have career years. Why is that? Why does Rasmus Dahlin go from 53 points to 73 points in 1 year? Why are we talking about Rasmus Dahlin all year long, talking about, man, he's in a Norris trophy conversation? Why are we doing that in his last year?
So you're saying,
because,
well,
the
there's
payday,
added incentive for sure.
Do you remember when you were with your hockey team back in the day and we would do these incentive bonuses?
Yeah, the incentive bonuses.
Yeah, the incentive bonus. You sit there and we're talking, you know, in a standard for most hockey players, it's peanuts. But it's not about the money. It's about winning. It's about winning something. It's about winning what you're not supposed to get and striving for something and pushing yourself. And I think it's important for players to have that feeling, that uncomfort, that you have to continue to play your best hockey. Now there's players like Sidney Crosby that has been making his number, $88.7 million. He's been making it for an ungodly amount of years, and it hasn't changed the way he plays, the way he prepares for the game of hockey. But there has been other players in the past that have fallen off, and I wouldn't say fallen off, but have not played to the standard of what their contract was until you got close to the end of it when he needed another contract.
So all
I'm saying is, I think Owen Power is, I don't know the young man, but what I have seen from him, he seems like a very special player. He seems like a great teammate. He seems like he's got a long way to go before he is at his peak. And if you're an agent, the parents we talked about a couple minutes ago, the parents are taking the 8 for 8 because that's a no-brainer. The agent knows what they have in Owen Power. The agent knows that Owen Power is a market setter. They also know that in 3 years from now, the salary cap is going to go from $83 million to $93 million. So why lock in Owen Power for 5 years after that?
Yeah, sometimes agents will leverage their current players to maximize the value of their players that are coming down the pike. Yeah, down the pike. Oh, do you think it's down the pipe?
I thought it was down the pipe, but hey.
Well, is it the New Jersey Turnpike or the New Jersey Turnpike?
That's a good one.
Hold on. Down the pike or down the pipe? Coming down the pike is the correct phrase. It's almost like play it by ear or play it by year. I always thought it was play it by year till just like a few years ago.
If Rasmus Dahlin signs for $10 million for 8 years, I think I'd be pretty damn happy with that. You got that young man locked up in the best years of his career from age 23 all the way till he's 30, 31. Okay. Owen Power has one more year at $925,000. We're going to see him continue to grow as a player, but Owen Power is probably not going to hit his real stride until he's 23, 24. And from that point on, he is going to be a monster. He is going to be an absolute monster. You watch. And he's going to deserve to be paid heavily. So I think that's why the Buffalo Sabres would love nothing more than to get Owen Power on a long-term contract, is it's going to bode well for them, because you're going to get the best years of that young man's career from the age of 21, which is going to be his $925,000 contract ending. And then you sign him for 8 more years, takes him till he's 30 years old. I mean, you're going to be in a hell of a situation, but it's going to be interesting to see. I think Owen Power's probably going to be in between $8-$8.5 million. Just is what it is. I wouldn't be surprised if he signed 8 for $8.5 million. And he's only played 1 year in the league. 1 year.
And I can honestly say that I project that to be down the road a Victor Hedman-like type cap-friendly contract.
Absolutely. 100%. Ultimately, what you're doing right now is if you give him $8.5 million for 8 years, and then you add on that $925,000 that he's going to make next year, you have him for 9 years. So, I mean, you're going to be in a real good situation.
I guess the next time we'll talk about this will be if we actually hear an actual figure, because it sounds like 8 years is the, yeah.
I think you will hear it. I think, you know, for Kevin and the Buffalo Sabres, these two young men on defense, you already locked up Cousins. You hit the home run, like not even a home run. You hit a goddamn grand slam with Tage Thompson. Okay. Incredible year. You signed a very favorite team friendly contract with Samuelson. Now to get these two young men on the back end signed, sealed and delivered for the next 8 years is going to be massive for this team moving forward, because they're not done. They need to get better in some areas. And I hate to say it, it's going to cost them, because they need to upgrade their defense. They have to upgrade their defense. And they need to look for a top four defenseman. It's going to cost them. And that's okay. If you want to get better in this league, sometimes you need to put forth to get the right player. But once they have those two contracts under wrap and you know exactly what you're paying these guys, now you can focus your thoughts on a few other things. Vegas Golden Knights are by far a superior team. I thought that Panthers were holding on by the skin of their teeth for a large part of the game. Thank God for the Conn Smythe trophy winners is in the refs, because their limelight last night, horseshit, just absolute horseshit. Just, oh my God, it's just so irritating watching these guys call tic-tac freaking penalties. Even the players were just so frustrated. They're just so frustrated. Like, what is going on right now? You got Paul Maurice, that's his face. It's like someone's choking him. He's getting so angry with watching some of these calls. They're just, it's frustrating when you're trying to battle and you're trying to win a game, and it's just, you get these ticky-tack penalties. And
Maurice isn't allowed to say anything in his post-game press conference or he'll get fined. But, I mean, they should fine him for his face, because basically what he's saying with his face is that it's an absolute disgrace that these refs are even involved in the game of hockey. I'm sorry, yeah, but it's absolutely true.
He was disappointed. I was disappointed watching it.
And they won the game, and he can still say that they were trash.
Yeah. Yeah. What a big game, though.
We've talked enough about the refs. Like, why are we making the refs the stars? They make themselves the stars.
That's right.
But Well, we got a series anyway. To
well,
be
big
honest
turn
with
of
you,
events. Is it going to be a series? Like, I mean, holy shit, man!
I don't really
Jack
care.
Eichel.
I just didn't want to sweep. I mean, listen, I loved the story of the Panthers and their run. It's been great. Do I think it's over? I think it's over, but I think they'll still put up a little bit more of a fight. Maybe we get six games out of this. I'm banking on five.
Who
But
knows? With this win last night, it just opens a can of worms that I don't think Vegas Golden Knights wanted. I think they're just like, these are the types of things that you're going to look back on and go, what the hell? Why couldn't we just shut that game down and made sure that everybody was on the same page? And I'm not saying that they weren't on the same page in that goal, but
well,
man.
Bobrovsky had a little bit to say about it last night.
He's the reason why they're there.
Yeah.
Like, again, this goes back to the same thing. Who's the Conn Smythe winner? If you were going into the series, the two top candidates were Matthew Tkachuk and Sergei Bobrovsky. And then all of a sudden, Sergei Bobrovsky has forgot how to play goal, okay, in games one and two in Vegas. And you ultimately had a Matthew Tkachuk who had, what, three, 10 minutes misconducts. He's in the box. He's frustrated. He didn't produce anything offensively. He made a big hit in game two, but that's basically all he did. But then all of a sudden in game three, you're back. Bobrovsky made saves that normal goaltenders are not making. And he kept them in it. He kept them in the game. And that's what you want with your goaltender, is just allow your team to keep their head above water. And that's what they did, because they were drowning the whole game. They were drowning. Matthew Tkachuk, possible Conn Smythe winner. What does he do? Pops in another one for his team, just throwing the whole entire team on his back. Yeah. It's insane. Because I'll tell you this, if you have the Florida Panthers win that game four, then this series is on. It is a completely clean slate series, best out of three. And Florida Panthers will have confidence like you can't even imagine. But if the Vegas Golden Knights win that, hate to say it, it's damn near as good as done.
You can't go down 3-1. You're never going to climb back. In fact, I would love to know if a team has ever come back down 3-1 in a Stanley Cup final before. That, yeah. I don't know. That was Florida's first ever Stanley Cup final win.
Yeah, because they got swept.
Yeah, against Colorado.
In what year was that? Do you remember?
96, I want to say.
Yeah, 96.
Remember who wristed the puck from the point? I think it was an overtime. It was a 1-0 game, maybe.
I will game say four. Ubi Krupp.
Oh, yeah, you knew it. You knew it. That's a wrap on another episode of After the Whistle. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, After the Whistle, and at Craig Revay 52, at The Instigator 76. And you can find us, as you already know, on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and anywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to spread the word.